I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
This is disgraceful. Our country is over 200 years old. We have never once, ever once indicted a candidate and a leading candidate for president. And this is Joe Biden, and this is the Democrats weaponizing the justice system because they're afraid of the voters. Every time more bad news comes out about Hunter Biden or Joe Biden, you can set a stopwatch within hours. Some clown goes and indicts Donald Trump again.
Some clown indicts Donald Trump once again. Those are the words of Texas Senator Ted Cruz. You've heard him say similar things. You've heard other Republicans say similar things. You've heard independents say similar things. You've heard even some Democrats admit, yeah, it's like clockwork. File something against Trump, and immediately they will escalate it. And dare you do anything against the Bidens, Joe or Hunter, they're damn sure going to hit Trump with something else. This is not new, except that this is the new norm going into the 2024 election. You thought 2020 was a big election, which we all did. It was a very big election. And no, it didn't go the way many thought it should have gone. And whether or not you were going to pin it upon fictitious votes, people illegally voting, votes not being counted, votes illegally harvested, votes being destroyed, or as I said, the FBI having its fist upon the voting system before the first ballot was cast by claiming the Hunter Biden laptop didn't exist, well, they knew damn well it did. They'd had it for a year. And then telling all the mainstream, as I call them, state-controlled media. There's no story here. There's no story. You don't want to get caught up in this. This is more Russian collusion. And now we know that was also a lie. And the carousel goes around and around and around. Thank you again for joining us. Here we are, August 29, 2023. This is the first of 2 hours, back-to-back, Larry Connors USA. Always glad to have you on board with us. I'll also remind you, while we're on the air, we do have a stream feeding at Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble. If you cannot watch now or miss part of the audio, you can always get either simply by going to LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA.com. And for that matter, you can also go to NewsTalkSTL.com. They'll have links for you as well. So the story that Ted Cruz is saying is, I know for some, we know it. Why go over and over and over it? Well, because there are some that still know it, but yet they don't know it. They don't understand it, and they just want to dismiss it. And quite honestly, it is turning a lot of people away from politics in general. I'll be the first to admit that. Not everyone is a political junkie, as I am, and like many of us in this business. But there are those who, they care about politics. They vote. They have never missed a voting day. But even they're tired. But more of them are angry at what's being done, because there seems to be no way that these guys are ever going to be held accountable until we actually get some behind bars. And one of the first who should be behind bars, without a doubt, would be Hunter Biden. I'm not talking about his Burisma deal, his money, the shell accounts, any of that. I don't want to throw it all out, but let's just say you did. The one thing that still stands, that Hunter Biden did, and it's acknowledged on a federal form, a very same federal form that many are spending time behind bars right now, is he lied on his application to get a gun. Are you a drug dealer? Nope. Have you been under the influence of drugs? Nope. Are you using drugs now? Nope. Every one of those a lie. And he has since admitted it in his own pieces of reporting that he did on himself and also interviews, admitting all of that. But, of course, the excuse is, I was so high, I didn't know, I didn't even know I was getting a gun. I have yet to hear him say that, but I'm waiting for that one. I didn't even know. I thought I was filling out for more weed and coke to be delivered. Are you on drugs? Yes, I want more. And as far as Joe Biden, Papa Daddy, he has a record that continues to amaze us on how he stumbles and fumbles his way around. And again, the state-controlled media looks away. They won't pay any attention to it. They don't dare. And of course, the reality for those of us that want to look at reality, if Biden continues to be at the top of their ticket with Kamala Harris, here's your in-your-face reality. If something happens to Joe Biden, if he should win, and something then happens to him, you know who goes to the top? VP Harris. That thought itself is frightening a lot of Democrats, much less the rest of the nation. Well, let's go back to Joe Biden, and I'm calling him Joe Biden because that is one of the names he uses. But the National Archives is acknowledged under a Freedom of Information Request Act. When they went back and looked and did researches on various names that he's been known to use, they found a lot of them.
Joe Biden was fond of writing emails under his nom de guerre, using the pseudonyms of Robin Ware, Robert L. Peters, and J.R.B. Ware. That's according to the Southeastern Legal Foundation, a nonprofit constitutional group that filed a FOIA request with NARA last year for these records. Now, NARA confirmed the existence of the trove to the foundation, writing this, quote, "We have performed a search of our collection for vice presidential records related to your June 9, 2022 request, and have identified approximately 5,138 email messages, 25 electronic files, and 200 pages of potentially responsive records that must be processed in order to respond to your request."
That's quite a listing, as reported by a Fox reporter. But again, to give you the numbers again, in case you didn't catch it, they found 5,400 emails and records linked to these aliases. Three different aliases that we know of, and there could be others. Robert Peters, Robin Ware, J.R.B. Ware. Those were all in government information, and documents where discussions were taking place in either text or emails or other records between the aliases with Hunter Biden. And again, that's according to the Southeastern Legal Foundation, which found all of these. So the House Oversight Committee Chair James Comer had requested earlier this month the archives hand over all those documents and communications, of which then Vice President Joe Biden did use these pseudonyms, Robert Peters, Robin Ware, J.R.B. Ware. And keep in mind, we've had repeatedly from Joe Biden, "I don't discuss any business with my son. I know nothing. He had this Chinese wall." And yeah, we can say Chinese wall because a lot of money came from China to Joe Biden anyway, according to everything we're seeing. But the question always comes back, and House Oversight Committee Chair James Comer is a good one to answer it. Why did he have all these fake names?
the fact that he was using a fake name. I think that's symbolic because the Bidens, we found, have 20 fake companies that they were receiving the money from the foreign nationals and then laundering through those fake companies to 9 different Biden family members. But he was using a fake name on a government email because he knew that emails are subject, as you know, to FOIA, to Freedom of Information Act, and he wanted to disguise his communication. And that's what they've done with the money. That's what the bank said with the bank violations. They were trying to disguise where the money was coming from and deceive the IRS so they wouldn't have to pay taxes on it. So Joe Biden has a pattern of deception here.
A pattern of deception. And again, if they're looking for Joe Biden's name referencing these documents, they would never find it. These aliases is obviously raising concern among anyone who's interested in facts. And these have been going back to 2021. Senator Ron Johnson had been stating, "I've been suspicious ever since my office uncovered this fact back in 2021. We have unfortunately gotten no response from the White House to 4 different letters we sent on this same matter. No answer whatsoever from the White House." The Republican from Wisconsin was quoted recently as saying, "It is incredibly worrisome that Joe Biden continues to evade our oversight efforts surrounding his corruption." Now, those words, his corruption, are from Senator Johnson of Wisconsin, but I'm more than glad to echo them. And Comer says, look, it's all part of the tie to Joe and Hunter.
They were trying to disguise where the money was coming from and deceive the IRS so they wouldn't have to pay taxes on it. So Joe Biden has a pattern of deception here. But I think the most alarming part is that Hunter Biden was CC'd on these emails. He was copied on these emails. And the one argument the Democrats, as they continue to move backwards and move the goalpost in their defense of Joe Biden, they said, well, Hunter Biden has nothing to do with the federal government. Then why was he receiving emails about Ukrainian policy right before they were going to fire that prosecutor?
Why would he get those emails? Because Joe Biden has been lying. He and Hunter were in constant contact. Oh, well, I stand corrected. It wasn't Joe Biden. It might have been, let me see, not Joe Biden, but it might have been Robert Peters or Robin Ware or J.R.B. Ware. But it was Joe Biden. And James Comer says the problem we have here inside the Beltway and dealing with the state-controlled media, my words, state-controlled media, they're pretty stupid.
Unfortunately, I've learned we have a financially illiterate media in Washington, D.C. I don't know that they understand the shell company's a fake company. They created 20 fake companies for the sole purpose to receive this money from foreign nationals, because if you're the son of the vice president of the United States or a congressman, you're not supposed to receive money from foreign nationals.
Whoa.
Right.
Yeah.
And they hid it through these shell companies. And then once they transferred the money back and forth, then they would make incremental payments to Biden family members. That's called money laundering. And when you create a bunch of shell companies for the sole purpose of money laundering, that's called racketeering. So the amount of crimes that this Biden family's committed is, you know, nearing the dozen mark.
Yeah, and many apparently in the leftist media believe money laundering is, oh, I left some change in my jeans when I washed them. Come on! More on Hunter and Joe coming up later, but of course leftist media have locked down a lot of this on the Trump indictments. I give you both. I give you, is it too much to ask to give you both sides? I tell you about the Trump indictments all the time. But they won't even mention that. And from the beginning, even before Biden was in office, he talked the talk about being transparent. Just another Papa Joe story he had learned at the knee of Obama. You can weaponize government against political enemies. Look at the Hillary story. And with the help of the swamp, you can do it. You can do it even before you become president. Remember how the Hunter Biden laptop was hidden?
The Post published exactly how the material for the reporting was obtained, even identifying our sources, as well as a federal subpoena showing the FBI was in possession of the material the story was based on and had been since December of 2019. But when the stories appeared on social media that morning, the venue where millions of Americans go to find their news and editors to get their angles, within hours, the reporting was censored on all major platforms on the basis of being called hacked or Russian disinformation. Twitter refused to allow users to share the link to the stories, banned the links from being shared in private messages, a policy, by the way, that's used to clamp down on child porn, and lock the Post out of its verified account.
That is Emma Jo Morris, Breitbart political editor, and part of her congressional testimony recently about how they were being controlled. The big tech was shutting them down at Breitbart and a turn at New York Post when Miranda Devine was trying, at that point, trying to get the story out. And they were using the same piece of legislation, the law, that they use against child predators. There's no linkage, but use whatever you can. That wrench won't fit, grab a hammer. We'll make it work one way or the other. And then do you remember the list of all these former intel officers that the Biden company, while Biden was still running for president, his campaign sent out, hey, go get, see if we can get these intel officers sign off on a letter that the Hunter Biden laptop is fictitious. It's Russian collusion. And 51 of them signed it. And I still say to this day, not one of them ever saw the laptop, ever read any of the emails. They were just presented a letter, and I'm telling you, it was very much akin to, hey, will you sign this? And sign also to buy some of my child's Girl Scout cookies. Will you do it? Oh, yeah, I'll do both. They had no idea, or they didn't care. Or, more importantly and scary, that represents our intel community.
On October 19th, 5 days after the Post began publishing, Politico ran a story headlined, Hunter Biden's story is Russian disinfo, dozens of former intel officials say. God, I can't even say that with a straight face, you know? Politico printed a letter completely uncritically from veteran members of the U.S. intelligence community falsely claiming that the Post expose has, quote, all the classic earmarks of a Russian information operation. My God.
My God, I was already beginning to laugh before we got to that as well. Emma J. Moore is laughing over these intel officers, Russian collusion information. We now know that's a lie. Coming up next, Biden's energy czar admits we do need drilling. But, there's another part of the story. Plus, the Biden administration thinks the Afghan debacle leading to the death of an Army sergeant, a medic, 11 Marines, one from the St. Louis area, demands more answers. And we're going to get into that. That is in our second hour, so you don't want to miss it. Make sure your family and friends know we're on the air now and catch the second hour if you missed this one. Coming up next, details of a documentary about the true chaos, the deadly chaos that currently exists at our southern border. It's going to be a very revealing documentary. We got the guy that produced it coming up. Lock and load. Ready. On the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
And they say you don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit into the wind. You don't pull a mask off an old Lone Ranger. And you don't mess around with Jim. I don't do that.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Bottom line is, he created this crisis, him and the Biden administration created this crisis that has overwhelmed the Border Patrol. So it's beyond an immigration crisis now. It's a public health crisis because of the fentanyl flowing across that border because the Border Patrol is off the line. It's about known suspected terrorists. It's about the record number of sex trafficking of children right now that they have lost track of 40% of the children they have released to so-called sponsors. They can't even find 40% of them. How in the hell can he claim this border is secure and safe? It's just ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, and those are the words of Tom Coleman, or Homeland, should say, former director of ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement, under Trump. He wrote a book called Defend the Border, and Defend the Border and Save Lives. And now there's a documentary coming out called Death County and the River of Broken Dreams. It's a 10-episode documentary, and it's produced by the team at Defend the Border and Save the Lives. My guest is Chris Berger. He's a spokesman for them and also producing. This is the first of, you got 48-minute episodes, 10 minutes of them, right?
Well, we've got the pilot. We'll see if we're going to do the rest of the series. And you can see the pilot at defendtheborder.org. Tom Homan stars in this, and it's just going to rock your world when you see what's really happening on the borders that the mainstream media will not show you.
Well, you know, again, Chris Berger is my guest at this point. And, Chris, just the facts of the statement he made then. We got all these getaways. We got all these kids that we bring into the country. We don't know where a third or more of them are right now, and much less all the drugs. That tells me the chaos that has already happened. The border is filled all across our nation.
Well, absolutely. I mean, the drugs are killing people all across this country. I mean, that's low-hanging fruit. What you're seeing happen on the border is it's so much bigger than immigration, so much bigger than just humanitarian stuff, and it's national security, and people don't understand that. When you see Death County, the River of Broken Dreams, you're going to see that we're seeing several things on there. And I've been doing this. I've been doing the border for 18 years. I've been tracking bad guys. Years ago on the border, we're tracking people through the desert. It's cartel guys pushing dope, and they're selling drugs. Well, that's still happening now, but they're making more money off of selling children. I was just down on the river last week, and the three loads that came across were all kids. Mm. And here's what happened. Here's the difference between before Trump was the president, you could come and say, oh, I'm Julio's dad at the detention center. Okay, here you go. Because there was no documentation.
Right.
When Trump came in, he put in DNA biometrics.
Right.
You had to take a test, okay?
And he called hell over that because he separated. You're taking the children from their mothers. How inhumane. We don't know that's their mother.
You're correct. And I just saw that just last week. And then when Biden got in, that was one of the first things they dropped. So, and you're going to see in Death County border, Death County in the River of Broken Dreams, you can see it at defendtheborder.org. We document, and we have three-letter guys in there that show that back in 2015, then-Vice President Joe Biden was in Central America on a campaign to get kids, saying, give me your kids. He's on the front page of La Prensa, refugios de menores. We will give safety to your children. Then in 2017, 2018, when the caravan started hitting under Trump, those were being financed by our own State Department.
God.
And the result, and it gets worse. And the result of that is now, under the Biden administration, they have over 365,000 unaccompanied children. 365,000 children with no parents in this country. And by their own admission, the Biden administration has lost almost 90,000 of them. This is the largest child trafficking organization that this country has ever seen.
I had not heard that he was down there using that statement. You said he's saying, give me your children?
They were saying he was down there in a campaign to get your children. And you'll see in Death County, the River Broken Dreams, you'll see the headline of La Prensa that he was on. And there's the headline. Biden is offering refugios de menores. He is offering safety for your children. They went to Central America and they set this whole thing up. Everything that you're seeing happening on the border has been organized by design.
All right, let me break some of this down. I've always acknowledged that there might well be parents in Central South America, Lower Mexico, wherever, they want their child to have a better life. And if they heard from someone, and in this case, if Biden was part of the one offering it, hey, if they come to America, they'll have a better life. Well, you want better life for your child. Maybe they do it, and they don't really know and understand what's going to happen. And then there are other cases where, in some cases, you'd hate to admit it, but for the benefit of the other kids, the parents sell one of their children. Or, in other cases, they're kidnapped by the cartel. And other cases, the parents are murdered and the kids are just taken. And they put a slip of paper in their pocket. When you get there, give them this piece of paper. They call the number. Hey, we have someone here identifies you as your niece. Yeah, it's my niece. Send her on up here. And we don't check to see who's on the other end of the line.
We don't. And back in 2005, 2006, I was catching those groups on the border in the deserts of Arizona. And we thought once they got to Border Patrol and they got detained that these kids would be safe. And now, with what I know now, what I know about child trafficking, and what I've seen this evolve into, I think most of those kids that we found and we thought we'd saved from the desert, I think most of those kids are all dead now because they went back into trafficking.
You know, I have mentioned that as well, that if any of them survive and get out, the stories they will tell, but knowing how these child predators operate, they will use them at a certain age, and then they discard them. They're too old.
May I share a story with you of just how evil the border is and what's going on? So every day the border is open, people are dying. There was a couple from Angola coming over. This is last summer. And this is down in the Eagle Pass area. And they had about a 15, 16-month-old baby. They start coming across the river. Dad's got the baby on the shoulders. Current starts taking him away, sweeps him away. Border Patrol comes in with the boat. They save the mom. They save the baby. The dad dies. They resuscitate the baby. They fly him to the hospital. And they get to the hospital. The baby dies. The baby's dead. She's examined by four different physicians that all confirm she had been raped so many times vaginally and anally, it has just torn her whole bottom section apart. The investigation, talking to people that came over in that load across the river, they determined that was part of the price that family paid to the Mexican cartels to get that child across the river. Now, the coroner that was in charge of all that is under a gag order not to talk about this. That gag order comes from higher up. You tell me why U.S. government officials want to cover up something so evil that is happening down there. And this isn't the only child. You know, this coroner told me, I can't talk about this child, but I got three others laying in my morgue. You want to talk about them?
And where are the leftists and Democrats who were down there when Trump was, quote, incarcerating them and putting them in these cages, the same ones Obama had used, and pleading for these children? And where's the humanity? Where's the humanity? Where are they now?
So that's all a PSYOP propaganda to distract you from what's really going on. Because while everybody's arguing the children in cages, Obama did it, did Trump do it, whatever, whatever, what you're missing is hundreds of thousands of children are being bought, sold, coming across the river.
And then, of course, drugs. And they've been saying, well, you know, drugs don't really come across like that. I mean, they're coming on tractor trailers and so forth. And, yes, that happens as well, too. But if you can get anyone across and they can carry anything, even if it's stuck up their rectum, they're going to use them.
Well, and you have to understand, I mean, it's changed a lot. It used to be we were tracking the deserts. It would be, you know, big square bundles of pot. But then also in Arizona back in 2005, it was heroin that was coming over, and that was the start of it. Now, when you are losing more people to heroin in the United States of America than you are car accidents, that's low-hanging fruit. That's what I'm saying. If you take a look at this entire – if you look at the Americas being a fifth-generation war or an asymmetrical warfare, the border is a battlefront, and it's a battle. It's one we've lost. I was just down there 2 weeks ago. The cartels laugh at us. Quarter mile, half mile north of where they've staged Operation Lone Star with resources from all over the country, Texas Guard, National Guard, CBP, Texas Department of Public Safety. They're bringing loads in. And the cartel guys, they flip me the finger and laugh as they're bringing loads across.
Well, in fact, they've been coming across our border fully armed.
Well, the people I ran into this last week were not armed. Now, the guys, the lookouts up in the houses above the top of the riverbank, yeah, there's arms there. And, yeah, I can introduce you to Border Patrol agents that have exchanged gunfire across the river and taken shots. You don't see as much of the shooting now because they know that the National Guard and the Texas Guard are under strict orders not to return fire. They're supposed to hide behind their Humvees. And as a Texan, let me tell you, that doesn't track well with us.
No,
I got to tell you,
go ahead.
Living in Texas, I am so tired of picking up dead bodies on my friends' ranches.
Right.
Not just on the border, but 73 miles north of the border. When you see Death County in the River of Broken Dreams, you're going to see Sergeant Benny Martinez, Sheriff Benny Martinez, had to get a portable morgue to put in his parking lot in this tiny little town of Falfurrias because there's so many people dying on the ranches in his county.
I'm from Texas. I'm aware of that, and I know it continues. They just abandon them, give them no water, whatever. Before we wrap up, I need
they
to
They also kill them.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. They will also kill them. But the other thing is the FBI now says it's investigating a smuggling network that they know is bringing in at least one member of an ISIS terrorist organization. So there's that also, unvetted, coming in.
Oh, if we had more time, I'll tell you about the uptick in soldiers we're seeing, specially trained soldiers from many, many different countries. I've never seen the numbers coming across as I did last summer. I've been doing this for 18 years.
We're going to have to, we will book you again. But again, give us the title and where they'll be able to see it and when.
Death County and the River of Broken Dreams. It's available for free now. You just go to defendtheborder.org.
Defendtheborder.org. Now, you're saying it's only a pilot, but I know you're planning a 10-episode. What is it? Funding is going to be needed or just get support?
Well, we got tanked by a network. This was supposed to air in a national news network, but that's a story for another day.
All right, just well, we'll book you again then. Chris,
God bless you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. We're up against the clock. Chris Burghardt, I appreciate it, from Defend the Border. Coming up, another scary scenario. Hot enough for you? Tired of hearing that question? It's certainly hot enough to damage your lawn and plants. Allen Outdoor Solutions can put in an irrigation system, save your landscaping, and save you from having to drag hoses in this heat. I've known Steve Allen for years. That's why I put my name with Allen Outdoor Solutions. Call 314-647-4800. 647-4800. Check the website, see everything Steve can do for you. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, Larry.HomesteadFinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, Larry.HomesteadFinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I'll tell you right now, in fact, I just pushed send. I sent a note to the booking agent for Chris, as you were just listening to, talking about the Death County and River of Broken Dreams, a documentary that was supposed to be showing on a network, but they decided, oh, this might be too scary. They don't mind putting up other scary things. They don't mind fictionalizing other things. This is real stuff. We've been talking about it now for a long time, about these kids coming across. If they survive, the stories are going to be horrific. And I say if because I doubt there will be survivors, or they'll be so traumatized that they won't be able to say anything. And I cannot help but drive home the fact again. And I don't care if you hate Trump and you love Joe Biden. Do you love anybody that is willing to let kids be sexually abused and molested and sold and used over and over and over until they're tossed away like trash? I doubt anyone in this audience is willing to accept that. So I'm going to encourage you to let your family and friends, even your enemies, hear this program. Make sure you send it to them. Easily share, send the link later when we put it up as a podcast, because they need to understand what's going on. There are too many of them to just, and the Democrats, I mean, where are you? You should be crying out as well. You're allowing these children to go through this. Let me put it this way. Your silence makes you complicit, as far as I'm concerned. There was so much wailing and gnashing of teeth because Trump was separating kids from, quote, their parents, when we did not know if they were actually their parents. Some cases they might have been. But even then, we were trying to verify, and then Trump was starting DNA testing and everything. All that's done now. Anyone can come. They fill out these apps that Biden has made available, and as I said the other day, just in the few months they've been available, they've approved 200,000 and more to come into our country already. Oh, look, I got my app. See, I'm already pre-approved. Kind of like going to fly on a plane. You have a TSA approval. You don't have to go stand in the line like everybody else. You get to move a little quicker. That's what they're doing. 200,000 plus. That is the population of Springfield, Missouri, New Orleans, and a few other cities individually, and then pretty soon it's going to be combined. All right, let me turn your attention again to what's happening in Maui. It's very easy as the news cycle moves on to simply turn the cameras away. You're going to hear in the next hour an allegation, which we've already heard before, but it's going to be repeated again. What happened to Maui, that really just amounts to a climate change issue. No way in hell it does. But they're going to tell their story. We'll get to that in the second hour. But right now, let's deal with what they're dealing with at this point. Death count officially 115. They still have hundreds missing. And among those missing would be children. Got separated from their parents. Maybe the parent had them and two other kids in tow trying to get them out. I mean, the parent that survived has got to be heartbroken beyond belief that they couldn't get their child to get out with them. Or they got some, but not all of them. And maybe their ones that did get out are still in a hospital recovering. I'm looking at a piece. This is put together. I think it's from Breitbart. I always like to give you the source. You can double check it. When I was copying it off, I lost. There's some information here from the AP and Reuters, so maybe a combination of it. But some of the failures that they're listing as of date as to what happened on August 6th, 8th, I mean, when that all happened. Firefighters ran out of water. Cars blocked from escaping. We talked about this yesterday because there were roadblocks set up. Power lines are down, and they wouldn't let the cars go through. They had to go that direction to escape the flames coming from behind them. And they turned them around and sent them back. And now they're log jammed. They're going in a opposite direction traffic. And pretty soon you got accidents. Then you got cars stalled. Then you got people can't go anywhere. And now you got the smoke and fire approaching. And pretty soon they have to make a decision. Do I stay with my car or to get out and forget out where I'm going? Maybe I can get into the ocean and survive. Jump from a cliff or where, maybe they're close enough they can wade in. But get into the water. Some could, some didn't. Some that did might have never come back out. First of all, the power company did not shut off the power before the fires. They did issue a red fire warning on Monday, August 7th. That's the day before the fires broke out. But they never shut the power off, even preemptively. And then later when it started, the winds really hit, they still didn't shut it down. They did issue reports to residents, you need to secure outdoor items, you need to avoid any outdoor activities involving the use of fire. Damaging winds could blow down trees and power lines. Therein it that said to the Hawaiian Power Company, shut your lines down, depower them for a period of time. And they believe now down power lines are the origin of numerous fires. They count at least four across the island. Some of them beginning hours before the fire actually went wild. So we got a lot of lawsuits against them at this point. We have another case of Lahaina residents who were not preemptively evacuated as they should have been, despite the warning from the National Weather Service. The risk of fire, all of this is now quoting the LA Times, given the fire weather conditions in effect the day of the blaze, it's likely investigators will examine whether officials should have ordered widespread evacuations. Downslope wind, low humidity, indication the entire town would be threatened if the initial fire got out of control, which it did. Another point, Maui authorities ignored non-native grass issue for years. They've allowed grass to come in and be planted. Tens of thousands of acres of pineapple and sugarcane fields, according to the San Francisco Chronicle, allowed for the growth of these highly combustible non-native grasses in their places. They're a lot more flammable. Firefighters let the Lahaina fire left it too early. They said, it's 100% contained. And they left. They left apparently around 9 a.m. after being there about 2.5 hours. It reignited at 2 that afternoon. Emergency sirens never sounded to warn the residents at all. The local chief of emergency management has now resigned. The release of water to fight the fire was delayed. The West Maui Land Company, which manages agriculture and residential subdivisions, was asking the Department of Land and Natural Resources to release the water. You know what they were doing? Apparently they were busy talking to farmers saying, how's this going to affect you if we start releasing water? No effort to ask about how's it going to affect lives if we don't. And as I said earlier, a key exit route out of Lahaina was barricaded. Lahaina. One man told his family, he told Associated Press that he and his family drove south to escape. That way was blocked by cones, a crew working on down electric lines, motioning everybody to turn around and go back into it. He said, I ignored them. I drove right over it. He said, no one really realized just how little time we had. If we did not do that at that moment, would be dead now. And then you have those who had either died or jumped into the ocean, and maybe some hit their head on the way down and they died in the water. As I pointed out in a commentary I've got running today, the president has the authority, as do governors, to order a flag at half-staff, half-mast, be it on a boat, for a tragedy or recognition of something. This president did it during some shootings, ordered the flags at half-staff, has not done it for the victims of Maui. All right, let me turn the page on you here, because we've got John Kerry, the climate czar, still saying, you know, we got so many problems with climate right now. We got to do something about these cows and their farting.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Agriculture contributes about 33% of all the emissions of the world, depending a little bit on how you count it, but it's anywhere from 26 to 33. And we can't get to net zero. We don't get this job done unless agriculture is front and center as part of the solution. But with a growing population on the planet, we just crossed the threshold of 8 billion fellow citizens around the world. We just crossed that in this last year. Emissions from the food system alone are projected to cause another half a degree of warming by mid-century on the current course that we are today. A 2-degree future could result in an additional 600 million people not getting enough to eat.
Well, first of all, if you're not going to be farming, you're not creating anything for them to eat anyway. So they're going to die that way. And we're never going to get net zero emissions. Never. And every time we think we did, you have one volcano blow up. There goes your net emissions. You have a wildfire. Net emissions are no longer net zero. But they continue to push the idea, we're going to do it, we're going to get there, and let's focus on the farmers, because they account for a lot of it. And the way they grow and put nitrogen out, and then the cows and the sheep, they all, you know, they let gas go. That's what we're trying to avoid. Well, I'll tell you where the worst gas is coming from right now. John Kerry and his like. Now, let me give you one other example of absolute filled with gas. Cheyenne, Wyoming, a national sorority at the University of Wyoming says, we are going to allow a transgender woman into the dorm in the Wyoming chapter of this Kappa Gamma, pardon me, Kappa Gamma. They sued because they wanted to make sure this transgender could get into it with them. Other women refiled because they didn't want the man, woman in there. And the motion to dismiss reads, the central issue is simple. Do the plaintiffs have a legal right to be in a sorority that excludes transgender women? They do not. There are some of us who remember when there were no co-ed dorms. If I went to pick up my date, she lived in a dorm, I had to stay in the lobby and for her to come down, and then we could go out on a date. Things have changed, I acknowledge that. But this kind of nonsense continues to percolate because the so-called minority is going to impose it upon you. Coming up in the next hour, we're not going to forget Afghanistan and that debacle. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.